You're listening to the More Time, More Profit podcast, the best place for entrepreneurs who are looking to grow past the startup phase of their business, but still need to learn how to free up more time to drive more profit. Now, to present these real strategies, your successful business coaches and hosts, Adam John and Grant Muriel.
Welcome to More Time, More Profit, episode number 28. Today's show is titled The $5 Million Lead Generation Framework with Mr. Charles Valhare. My name is Adam John, and as always, I'm joined by Mr. Grant Muriel. What's going on, Grant?
Not much, buddy. I'm pretty pumped up to get right into this episode, to be honest. So I'm not even going to do the niceties and ask you how your day was.
That's okay with me, mate. Let's get into it.
All right. So we've got Charles Valhare, or as his fiance calls him, Rowdy. So, not because of his bedroom manners, but named after the race car driver in the Days of Thunder. How you doing, Rowdy?
Really well. I wish it was for bedroom activities, but yeah, growing up, can't help but be a massive fan of Days of Thunder.
I reckon we call you Rowdy for the rest of the episode. All right, so Rowdy, you've crushed it with two different companies, PPC Empire and Outsourcing Angel. You've done extremely well with making clients over $5 million with quite a simple framework, if I do say so myself. A little bit of background about you, and correct me if I'm wrong. You and I actually have quite a few regular catch-ups where it's me stealing all of your knowledge and adding as little as possible in return. You're probably one of the best virtual reality cycling champions the world has thus far. And I kind of consider you to be one of the behind-the-scenes successful entrepreneurs. You know, the people that you never heard of, but is more successful than the people that you actually do. Kind of like a Tai Lopez behind-the-scenes kind of guy. So, look, it's an absolute pleasure having you on, mate. Everyone wants to know, how did you get into the world of PPC and outsourcing?
Thanks for having me. What an intro. It's funny you mention that. It's because one of the things I've always said is that I want to be Batman. And the idea being that no one would know my identity and just be working from the shadows. And to hear that really is kind of a great reinforcement, so I'll be sticking with it.
Super. Well, he's a Batman, and instead you get called Rowdy. What's that? The guy of Toy Story, huh?
Polar opposites.
So how did you get into PPC?
How I actually ended up in there was kind of one of those things where I was looking for something to do with business and something could be really great, and it got suggested to me that a great place to start with any business is learning how to generate leads, and that would be really valuable for any other business. So I just kind of dived into it off that. Of course, going down the path of starting an agency because digital was just starting to get big, and then later down the track, really kind of honing my skills into PPC specifically.
And then how'd you step over into outsourcing?
Funny you should mention that. I actually met someone. It started with a girl I met called Lynn Perdetti, who is my co-founder at Outsourcing Angels. And she was someone that was very, very good at what she was doing, but she was struggling with the lead generation side. So we decided to partner up, and I said, I'll take care of all the leads. You show me how to run an outsourcing business. And she still does that, and that's still our agreement.
Absolutely love it, buddy. And that's exactly what we're going to be diving into. And look, only because I'm super jealous of this, and I think the world should be super jealous, can you just run us through the typical day of Rowdy Charles Valhare?
Well, I'm very fortunate this time. I kind of get up and just kind of count my blessings all the time, because at the moment, I'm very lucky that I've been able to kind of get my business to a place where I'm not required every day or any time specifically. So at the moment, being that it's January here, well, it's January everywhere, but kind of get up and I ride my bike for a couple of hours every day, do a bit of meditation and maybe some cooking or something like that, prep all my meals. Then I go into the office pretty casually and then try and put in a good afternoon, but then making sure, of course, to have a lunch break and then get off at a reasonable time.
After 20 minutes of work, you put the pants on and call it a day, really.
Well, I like to say, I think there's a bit of a confusion thing. It's like I get paid per action, not per hour. So if I can do more actions in my time, so be it.
Well, that's absolutely awesome. That's a man after our own heart here at More Time, More Profit. That's what we like to do. If you're getting paid on actions, you know, sometimes when you just work massive amounts in hours, you don't get the payoff for that one. So if you're getting paid per action, that's awesome as well. And for anyone out there listening, you want to jump onto Facebook. If you want to ask Charles any questions, go to More Time, More Profit group on Facebook and ask away. All right, guys. So we're going to jump straight into it. And today we're talking about the $5 million lead generation framework. So Charles, can you take us through what exactly is the framework at a high level? And we can dive into the details a bit later.
Definitely. So I was talking to Grant about this a little bit earlier today, and it's surprisingly simple, but that's part of its beauty, is it's really simple to understand, kind of one of those 5 minutes to learn, a lifetime to master type things. So the framework itself is called TMO, which stands for Target, Message, and Offer. And it kind of falls back in being one of these things where it doesn't matter what campaign you're doing or running or what platform, whether it's Facebook ads, Google ads, EDM, sending out flyers, you name it, it always applies and always comes true. And the most important thing is whenever there's a mistake, it's because I've ignored this. So a lot to be gained from it.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely awesome. I think a lot of people probably, because AdWords has been around a lot longer, but they might struggle when they get into Facebook advertising and things like that. So I can't wait to jump into some of that. So can you tell us how you took it to over $5 million in sales and talk about the scalability of it and how evergreen it is?
So the beauty of it is the evergreen part of it. And the reason is that it's kind of your high-level plan before you start building your campaigns. What I think people often get confused by when it comes to advertising or generating leads in general is they think it's the platform doing the work, when really you've got to have a strategy or something you're taking to that platform. So regardless if you're using, and I'll use the example of Google or Facebook because I think they are the biggest ones at the moment, you've still got to make sure you're getting the right target, which is the right people. You've still got to make sure your messaging is right on both of them, and you've still got to make your offer is strong. And if you're missing any one of those elements, it'll kind of come back to bite you in the ass. Now, whenever we took someone in the PPC agency and we were looking at generating leads from, this was the starting block. This was the info and thing we had to create before we create a campaign. What's really interesting is as we've kind of got to know a lot more people in the industry, how many people kind of have something similar. There are some other ones going around, but I find this to be the most effective. The scary part is there's a lot of people around at the moment that, let's say, are getting very tactics focused on, you know, writing amazing copy, but then their campaigns don't necessarily have the substance to do well on those platforms. And you might even see them, I don't know about you guys at the moment, but I'm certainly, whenever I'm on Facebook, it's like, I swear I'm seeing the same written ads over and over again, just with a different name put in. It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I come from a PPC background as well. I work with one of the largest agencies called Reach Local. And you get a lot of people from Google coming out, if you're an AdWords reseller, just coming out. And really all they do is say, do the keyword research, write a compelling ad and have a landing page. And there's no real marketing involved with that. So I'm really interested to hear how you take the next step in that process.
Awesome. Well, this is kind of the before step. So are we ready to dig into it? Shall we have a deeper look?
We're just about to jump straight into it. So Adam's trying to take the words straight out of my mouth. Love it. So, look, I want to take one little step back. Before we do jump straight into it, outside of the evergreen and the scalability, what do you think and why do you think this framework is so darn important?
Yeah, good question. Why it's so important? I guess it was the way I was taught is where it comes back to. So it's deep in my foundations that this has to be done first. If I've ignored this, I've seen big failures, in all honesty.
And who taught you?
Oh, do I give away the secrets?
dun, dun, dun.
No, I was very, very lucky to have two really good mentors in the space. So I had Mike Rhodes, who is web savvy, very, very well renowned in the Google AdWords space. And then Ben Simkin, who comes from kind of Facebook land and a few other places, who's doing some great things as well. And both of them kind of have this in their own version. But Ben was the one who kind of instilled TMO really to me.
Nice. So when was that aha moment for the TMO framework?
Yeah, I actually distinctly remember this moment because I was doing a campaign and it was kind of working, kind of not. It was one of those, I couldn't work out why it was working in some areas and I couldn't work why it was not in others. And I'd come across Ben, and at that time, he wanted me to actually join his mastermind group. And I said to him, I said, look, if you can make this campaign work or show me how to make this campaign work, I'll join. And funnily enough, that's where it kind of unfolded and all came from. And I joined his mastermind and I'm still in his mastermind to this day. So that's how I actually kind of came across it and then having been embedded with it ever since.
And what was the secret?
TMO, always TMO.
I love it. All right. So what's the biggest client you've applied this to?
Ooh, can we talk
that you can share?
Look, it's all of them. This is the thing. It doesn't exclude anyone. It applies to everything. It's one of those timeless ones. We've used this with TallyChoice, which is a big mobile phone provider here. We've used this with Founder Magazine, which is, again, I'm using polar opposites just to kind of show how versatile it is. Like, one is literally a phone retailer and the other one is a online social media titan, if you will, an online magazine. Both of them used them with massive success.
And everything in between.
Everything in between. If you're someone who wants to generate leads for a coaching business, if you have an online store and you sell shoes, it definitely applies to everyone.
Love that. And if you want the show notes from today's episode, go to www.moretimemoreprofit.com/028 for episode 28.
We'll be right back after a message from our sponsors on the More Time, More Profit podcast.
Hey, Adam, buddy boy. Look, I've heard you guys consistently mention leveraging outsourced staff, and I'm definitely keen to try it out. And I know More Time, More Profit has over 20 years experience in outsourcing and 8 years experience living in the Philippines. And so you are the guys to ask. So, can you point me in the right direction with regards to filling some full-time positions in my company?
Yeah, you are correct, and I do get this a lot. What real problems are you trying to solve?
Let me tell you. Well, I need to grow my team to cater to the ever-growing client base that we have. I also want cheap staff to drive better profit. And most importantly, I need people who already have a great skill set so they can get some of my most important time back.
Okay, so outsourcing is cheaper and it allows you to scale very quickly. It covers jobs like web design, administration, development, writing, finance and bookkeeping, marketing, social media and SEO, just to name a few. But have you thought about the potential problems with your staff?
Mate, sounds like everything I need. But you mentioned other potential problems? Like what?
Let's consider your IP walking out the door. What about data security? And what about the reliability of your staff?
Hells no, man. But now that you mention it, what about fast internet, payroll, benefits, employment contracts, etc.?
Don't worry about it, buddy. Have I got a solution for you?
All right, let me have it.
Look, as you're a trusted listener to the show, I'm happy to introduce you into our network. We partner with the fastest growing outsource agency in the Philippines, and their security is better than Fort Knox. They're the only company I trust to look after my network, and they'll give you the same Red Cartman VIP treatment that they give to us.
Nice. But honestly, I'm a bit worried about signing up and just getting dumped with some individual or even someone else's rubbish.
Once again, don't worry about it. There's no problems. You get as many interviews as you want to find the right person to fit the right role for you. You can hire someone from as little as 20 hours a week. And if you inquire today, More Time, More Profit will cover the first week for free. Just go to www.moretimemoreprofit.com/VA to find out more.
No way, the first week free. But honestly, I'm a bit of a nervous Nelly and I'm still concerned is there going to be across the other side of the world.
Look, don't worry about it. For yourself and anyone else in our network, the More Time, More Profit office is located in the same city as our partner. If there are any issues that need escalation, we're more than happy to go in and represent you.
Wowza, you'd actually use your team to help me out if I really need it? You do have faith in their ability. Look, what is that website address again?
Just go to www.moretimemoreprofit.com/VA and get started today.
Thanks, man. I'm going to jump onto it now.
Back to the show, the More Time, More Profit podcast.
All right, mate, you've got the juices flowing over at this end. Can you take us through an example or a story about how you've used the framework?
Absolutely. I just want to kind of dig into the specifics of each really, really quickly, and then I want to use an example. I'm going to tell you about how we use it at Outsourcing Angel, because it's just so-so from there. So the first part of the TMO is target, which is the person you're trying to contact or get in front of or work with. Now, every business has someone they're trying to target or they have a type of client they're trying to get with. So in a lot of cases, they call this the customer avatar and something like that. Now, what I suggest to people when you're doing the TMO method is that you can have multiple TMOs in a business. You could do several ones for different people and you want to be specific as possible. So whenever we do a TMO in this case here is like, I want to get this to the point where I can see the person in front of me. And there's a great saying that I should be able to write a page of their diary. And that's when I know it's in the sweet spot. Now, the reason for that is when it comes to writing copy and making your ads all down the line, you can be really specific in the types of words you use or messaging that appeals to these people. So it's important to get the target right in the first place. Really, really specific. Too many times have I gone to a meeting, and I'm sure you guys have probably had similar experiences where I go, well, who's your target market? And they'll pretty much say anyone with a pole or business
owners. That's our target market, isn't it?
So what about if let's say I'm a plumber or an electrician or something. Let's get a little bit more specific into this. What is or some type of campaign that you've run lately? Can you just show us the framework based on a real life example of a business?
Yeah, so let's use the plumber example there because I think that's a really good one. So if you were trying to say you might be a plumber and think, well, anyone is my target, but really a specific area might be your target. So you are a plumber and you obviously have location reach. So one of the first things you want to do is, you know, target an area that you can get to. The other thing you might want to think about is in the past, if you've worked with, let's say, families and they pay on time versus single people who don't pay, which I'm not saying that's the case, but that might be your experience. Already, we can draw a more precise picture based on that. So the second part there might be the messaging. So when we look at the second part, which is the M part, the messaging, and we use the plumber again here as the example, is that, again, the type of work you do comes through in the messaging. So if, for example, changing a tap washer is a very low profit job and doesn't make you a lot of money, and in fact causes you to go backwards, that's not the type of thing you want to get across in your messaging. That's not what you want people coming to call you for. On the other side of things, if you are someone that specializes in, let's say, doing bathroom renos, and that's an area where you do really, really well, that's the type of messaging you want to get across. You want to be using images of bathroom renos and talking about renovating bathrooms, and that's the type of thing that will allow you to get that person in the right area and then the type of job you really want to do.
Just before you jump on to the last one, what's the number one key to try and find the best message? Do I go to my competitors' sites and see what they're talking about? Do I set up a survey? Do I have to service some customers or something like that to get some kind of insight? What's your approach to actually trying to carve out the right message?
Yeah, so my first choice is always to go back through what we've already done. So have a look what's appealed to people that have already worked with you because they've given you money at some point, or they should have. Anything that's already worked at some point is your go-to place. The second part we always look at is a bit of market research. So what is our competition doing, or what is similar businesses in maybe a different area doing? So in the plumber example, this might be, let's say I'm a plumber in Melbourne, then definitely, you know, I could have a look at what people are offering or what their messaging is in Sydney or Queensland, because they're going to be very similar type businesses to mine, and there might be something worth testing in there. And then the third part is kind of from the business itself. So you might be trying to innovate an idea and you just want to test that. So the fantastic thing we have today, or availability with things like Facebook ads, is we can test ideas really, really cheaply. If you're a plumber and a bathroom reno, let's say, is worth $5,000 to you, the idea of spending $100 to see if you can get a lead kind of makes it worth it. It's worth trying, or worth testing those type of concepts.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. In the past, what I've done for one of the pet e-commerce websites is actually jumping across to America and seeing exactly what wording and what ad copy and everything like that they're using, because they're usually sort of one step ahead of us in Australia, or they also look at it from a completely different perspective. And then I can even refine it down where we're in Melbourne and Sydney and Brisbane to looking at Chicago, Boston, San Francisco, etc.
100%. And there's some really good tools for doing that. Like the ones I would recommend are definitely SEMrush, What Runs Where. Yeah, they would be my two favorite at the moment. I think they give you the best information to find that type of stuff out.
Yeah, and I guess it's probably important too to know your bottom line as well. If you're selling a $15 or $20 product and the clicks are $5 each, or the advertising far exceeds what you're going to make in return, it's probably not the best idea. I think as a rule of thumb, when we ran pay-per-click advertising campaigns, we usually had a minimum purchase value of $100, and that way we could get our sum sorted. So I assume you use some logic along those lines as well.
Yeah, so that's almost a step after. So you've got to do the sanity test, I used to call it, where if you're working with a client and you're kind of seeing the click numbers, or you're seeing how much it's going to cost you to bring a lead in, you have to do the right thing as an agency, in my opinion, and make sure the client can turn a profit. Like if in the numbers you're seeing there and go, wow, the best case scenario is these guys make no money, then you're always going to be doing the wrong thing. Even if your campaign is successful, you lose. So really important on that part as well.
Yeah, fantastic. And I cut you off just before. I think you're up to the third part. What was the third step?
The good old offer. The offer is the thing that gets people across the line. This is honestly the most important one, because a great offer will almost get you to overcome poor targeting and poor messaging. So if I could put any weight on the offer, I certainly always pay more attention here. And the way I'll do it is I'll use a different example here, because I think it gets the idea across. If I said, look, I'm going to give you a brand new Ferrari for $10,000, you would be like, wow, that's an amazing offer. That's something that would almost make you get up and jump for it, if you believe the offer was real, of course. And that's almost the kind of feeling you're trying to create for people. You're trying to create something or put something forward that would really invoke action. I mean, that's one of the keys here. So a lot of the more common ones you see might be like 50% off, or your first week free, or something of value that you're trying across in this messaging here. It might be a consultation, it might be a free pair of socks with your shoes. Again, following a similar format to what we were talking about before, is this is a really great one where you can see in the past if there's things people have wanted as extras or something you get asked for, or you might do some market research and see what other people are offering or similar businesses are offering. And then thirdly, you might start innovating your own ideas. Maybe you're getting a new product in, or maybe there's something that matches really well with what you want to sell.
Do you believe that every business needs to have a USP, or like a unique sales proposition in their offer? Meaning that something's very unique. So if my competitor's offering 40% off, I have to do something different, like something free, 50% off, have a completely different product, or can I just go and rip the exact same offer that they've got?
Well, we see this a lot. And the funny thing I always used to say is, like, you should never copy your competitors because they don't know what they're doing either. And that's one of these things we look at as well, where it's like, yes, these guys might have an offer like 40% off and you may be tempted to copy it, but if it doesn't make sense for your business, then definitely don't. At the same time, you'd be silly to ignore it if this is something these guys are doing. So I always say take it with a grain of salt and then make the right decision based on what you're doing. Often there's better ways to innovate. So a company might be doing 40% off, but their site might be really untrustworthy, or whatever they're doing just looks a bit dodgy and you might not need to do 40% off to compete with these guys. When we look at it, like, customers buy for so many reasons. It's not always the cheapest. It might be that they want a higher quality of service. Like, when I looked at doing PPC, like, no one ever came to us because they were looking at for the cheapest option. And we weren't the cheapest option, and that wasn't the game I wanted to play at all. Like, there's other companies out there that offer the cheapest option. And if you're that type of customer, then you're right for them. So this comes back to knowing your customer really well, knowing your market really well, and kind of everything that ties in with that. As for, does every business need like a unique selling proposition? I really think they do. I think if there's not anything unique about your business and it's easily copyable, especially if there's a low barrier to entry, meaning you don't need to buy equipment, it just raises the risk profile and it makes it hard to sell the business if that goes down the road because, well, really someone else can create it. And personally, I would always kind of vouch for something that's unique.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I guess we see on Facebook a lot of times, as you mentioned before, that I guess someone goes to a seminar and 500 people go to the same seminar and they're all creating the same ad copy and the same banners and everything along those lines. So the more unique you can be and stand out from the crowd, probably the better.
Yeah, and I'll give you one right here is like for my businesses right now when I look at it. So PPC Empire, what made it unique at the time is we did Google AdWords and Facebook advertising, and our proposition was we could make them work together. That was something we were particularly good at, is using remarketing channels to make these platforms sing. And that was kind of in my pitch, that was in my marketing. That was something that was valuable to the right people in that space. At Outsourcing Angel, a big thing we try to get across is that other, I guess, as you call it, like offshore companies or teams that create offshore teams would really just be an introduction agency. Their whole kind of thing is they will just connect you with the person, where our thing is that we want to not only connect you with the person, we want to help set them up in your business. We want to work with you on getting the systems and procedures in place, and we call it kind of the integration model.
Awesome. Speaking about Outsourcing Angel, now what I want to do is I want to peel back the curtains as much as you're willing to do, which I'm sure is 110%. All right, so give it to us. What's the target, the gender, the age, where do they live, etc., of Outsourcing Angel at the moment?
So we, as I mentioned before, we create very different TMOs. Like, we would create a different TMO for different campaigns. The one I'm working with at the moment is, I'll give you a rundown here, is we're going for Australian businesses with a team of five or more of local staff who work from an office, like a real building. We're not looking for any virtual or anything like that. In a major city, so not in any rural areas, is the CEO or co-founder or director. So I only want to deal with the people at the top. I'm not interested in dealing with any corporate structures. Aged between 28 and 40, married with kids, and has some sort of online presence and can benefit from things being done online.
Is that only through Facebook ads?
But this is just one campaign. This is just something I ran for one campaign. I'm more than anything, I want to show you how specific I'm getting here. Is like, you can almost see this person. He's probably balding a little bit if it's a guy.
What's his name?
His name's Bob.
So in terms of Facebook, we get it. You can put the age, the gender, what income they make, and things along those lines. What about for AdWords? Do you have to do a bit more research online? Obviously, the targeting options on Facebook are much better than AdWords, but you cross-pollinate, so to speak, and that's where the real power of your program comes in. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's a good one. I think it's the important thing with there is like the distinction is the targeting versus keywords versus kind of demographic targeting, if you will. And when we look at that, I might use a series of keywords on AdWords and then remarket to people on Facebook that fit my criteria. The other side of that is the type of language I use on the landing page itself. So I'll give you an example here. If someone's in Google and they search, let's say, for I want to hire a virtual assistant, very common term. If they see my ad on AdWords, in the ad copy itself, like, I want to use things that call out to my target market and not specifically the broader people. So if I just search that term and then the ad pops up going, are you an Australian business with five or more local staff? Then click here. That's how I kind of make sure that it calls out. Now, instantly, anyone that's not that isn't going to click. Well, they might, but they shouldn't. And anyone that does fit that taper is then going to click, and my landing page is going to be really specific for them. So there are ways of using or guest targeting in Google AdWords that aren't so conventional as Facebook itself.
So that's kind of the message part of it, right? So we've talked about the target, which were people who are married, co-founders, CEOs within Australia, city locations with five people in their office, etc. So the message that we're saying to them, do we use their demographic in all of our copy, or do we go and Google language that 40-year-old married men use? Or how do we try and get our message correct? And what message do you actually offer to them as well?
Yeah, great point. So what I normally like to do is whenever I do copy for, let's say, for AdWords or something like that, I always like to lead with something or use the open that connects with them, that calls out, and the person on the other side or through the computer screen will be saying, yep, that's me. So I always like to open with something that references the target. And that's a personal preference. I found that to be very effective. I know there are some other methods.
Bob, your old sod, get our outsourcing, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. If I can, definitely.
What's the message you've got at the moment?
So the message, like with Outsourcing Angel, the messaging or areas of messaging we like to work with is, number one, is that normally we like to lean on the fact someone's probably working too many hours. That's a big one. We find that most people, when they come to work with Outsourcing Angel, that's the number one thing they say. So when we looked through all our kind of, if you will, notes from our CRM and things like that, the number one thing is they all felt that they were working more hours than they should be. And I think most entrepreneurs in general can relate to that, or business owners can in some form. So that's been a really strong one for us. The second one that's been very effective with this market is like cost-effective staffing solutions. Like a lot of people like the idea of saving a dollar. And when you're talking about, I guess, setting up teams in the Philippines, cost-effectiveness is always going to be a major factor. So we want to make sure that they're connecting with that as well.
Fantastic. So you basically just jumped through your CRM, looked at your objections that you had to, that your sales team had to handle, and then just tried to create the message around that that matched the target demographic who was paying your bill, right?
Absolutely.
So then the offer. So what are we offering them?
Yeah. So the offer is, like, as I said, we want to make it really appealing. So one of the offers we use really well is, like, we literally give people a 10-hour free pack so they can try out the service for free for 10 hours. And our aim in that is to really provide a high quality service where they want to stay with us. So really easy to get started, no cost to them. It'd be silly to say no. So they're going to be ringing around or hearing from all the other companies who want to charge money, and we're the ones that don't. So that's been really successful for us.
Look, to be honest, that's awesome. So what I want to do is kind of want to wrap it up and put it into a bit of a summary for you. So what I've got here is, first step is the target. So you've got to be really specific. So where do they live? The gender? Are they married? What's their age? What's their locale? What's their job position as well, going to your point? But also don't stop at just one platform, which unfortunately a lot of marketers are trying to sort of push onto everybody's. Facebook's where it's at. Google AdWords is where it used to be at. YouTube's where it'll be at next. But what you're talking about is target them across multiple platforms and progress it on, which continues on to part two, right? Which is the message. So make sure that your message is then consistent to the target that you're hitting. You'll always get your bucket overflowing with people who might buy, but they aren't the person that you're targeting specifically, meaning that they might come through, they might not. It's not the end of the world if they do. But you actually want to talk to them and make it tangible so that you're actually talking about the results they're going to get, right? So look at your objection handling and the way that you're going to appeal to them based on what you're going to be doing. And then the third step is the offer, which is the TMO, where the O is the offer. So you've got to give it to them that's so good that they can't refuse it, right? So give them something that the market wants, go out to different countries, different locale, try and get different ideas, but also make it so that it's something that they can just afford and jump straight into. And something is, again, going back to USP, something unique, something they've never seen before that actually wows them and gets them to take action now.
Yeah, definitely. And the thing I want to kind of tag on the end of that, because that was a perfect summary, but if you do a campaign on any platform and it doesn't go well, like, this turns into your tool for kind of assessing the campaign. So whenever something happens, which inevitably it will, like all marketing campaigns have their challenges at some point, you can look back in this and say, well, you know, can I improve my targeting further? Are people accepting my offer? Maybe we need a stronger offer. Is my messaging working? And it becomes a place to kind of revise what you're doing and then bring it up to that next level so you can get more success with it. Essentially, if you go back to a campaign and you can review and improve any one of these areas, you'll get an improvement. And that's the beauty of it.
Yeah. And I love jumping into sequences, processes, funnels, everything like that with the concept of theory of constraints. And I think Adam and I really want to do an episode on this at some point, where when you go into a business, you always look for the number one thing that's breaking everything else. So if I was to jump into your framework and go through the T, the M, and the O, I'd be looking for the part that looks the most broken, right? So what's the one thing that I can jump into today, fix up, try and get it up to 80%, maybe not 100%, but it's going to help the whole waterfall flow a lot smoother.
Yeah, absolutely. And with today's platforms as well, it kind of almost self-identifies. Like, if you're getting a lot of people on the phone and they're not accepting the offer, like, you know, that's the place to work. If you're putting the ads out there and you don't feel like, and no one's clicking on them, then there's a good chance your targeting or messaging might be off. Or if you're getting a lot of clicks and you're not converting, again, really should be your messaging you need to look at.
Absolutely awesome. We're going to start wrapping this puppy up. Is there anything that you'd like to plug? And what we'll do is we'll put them on the show notes. So if anyone wants the amazing examples, brilliant frameworks, or wrap-up points from the show, they can go to www.moretimemoreprofit.com/028. So do you have anything that you would like people to check out there?
More than anything, just like run through it. Do this for yourself. Like the TMO process, like if you're doing advertising or any type of lead gen at the moment, you're already doing it in some form. So maybe the place to start is just going, well, is my targeting in check? Am I happy with my messaging? Is our offer working? And then you can pretty much start from making an improvement rather from scratch.
Absolutely love it. Look, don't forget to jump onto the website, download all of the points that Charles Vallaher Rowdy has talked about. Yeah, print off the worksheets and actually work through the TMO framework yourself.
And we'll be continuing this conversation over at Facebook. You can go to Facebook and search for More Time, More Profit Group, and you can join in the conversation with us there.
Thanks, everyone. Charles, it's been absolutely awesome having you on the episode. Everyone, don't forget to jump onto iTunes, click subscribe, focus on our podcast, and give us your review.
That's it from us. We'll catch you the same bat time, same bat channel. It's bye for now.
Catch you later, guys. See you, Charles.
See you, guys.
You've just been listening to More Time, More Profit Podcast. For more info, check out moretimemoreprofit.com. Make sure to tune in at the same time next week for another dose of real-life business strategies.